again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
I'll get a little closer.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Insight on this first pretty Wednesday night that we've had in a long, long time. So it looks like the weather has changed, and they're not limiting the beauty to the outside, Neil. We have four beauties inside.
Oh, yes, we do.
Other than Rocker.
Yes.
Yes. What a mug. We have with us the Morbilius Upper House Committee, I will call it. And you can correct me and tell me what the name of it is. We have Miss Kim Rammel, Carol Judy, Jill Andrews, and Karen Myring. And we had some pretty exciting news this past week, correct?
Yes.
So let's start with, what was that exciting news?
Well, I'll start. We've been waiting for over a year. March of last year, I think, was when we had to have our budget turned in for the Target of Opportunity Grant, which is part of the Community Development Block Grant program, if I get my alphabet letters right, through the Office of Economic Development. We filled out a budget, requested $250,000 last year, and we were supposed to hear by Memorial Day, and that came and passed. And then I think every holiday, like July 4th, and that came and passed, and then on and on. And we began to wonder if they were going to continue the program or not. I think they only do four of these around. And then we were in competition with St. Mary's Opera House, too. And, you know, we're like in a race to be, you know, in the fight in this, but we wish them well as well, as long as they come in second.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we want to be first again.
We do, but we did get the news. Jared kept hinting that it's good, it's all good, it's all good, and we just kept crossing our fingers and finally got that, and then that is going to be the foundation for a lot of things moving forward.
So is that like a matching grant?
We had to throw in some money. I believe we threw in $68,000 of our own money, and I think a year and back in March of 2021, that was kind of a chunk for us the time, because we had not raised a whole lot of money at that point. And then I believe there's another $25,000 coming in from a revolving loan program. Oh. So the whole program will be
$343,000. Yeah. So Jill is the numbers person, I take.
So all in all, we will have $343,000 to spend on the existing structure to bring it up to upgrade it to where we can start using the facility a lot more.
Fantastic. So, okay, so you know, let's build this thing from scratch and start at the beginning. Okay. It's been Brockman's Appliances for decades, okay? At what point was there an interest in, hey, let's do something with the upstairs? Sorry, where'd that come from?
Let me start it, then I'll let you finish it, Jill.
Sure.
Back in the 60s, I think maybe when the sesquicentennial happened, there was some talk at that time. And then Terry Smith bought it. Before Mike had it, and that's when early 70s, I believe, and that's when he really wanted to get it going too. And I think everyone went up there and looked at it and said, wow, this is awesome, but then they realized how much work needed to be done.
Well, then the fire happened in the building, and I think that's when it stopped. And then when we did Project Recovery did the downtown revitalization, I want to say 91. It was brought up again, the Opera House was. It wasn't part of the grants that we were able to get then, but I know there was a conversation between Lori and Mike about when you're ready to retire, let us know. Let us know. We want to do something with that opera house.
Yeah.
And so now that Mike's getting ready to retire, we approached the conversation again, and he was very gracious. The Brockmans have been amazing with preserving it as is. I mean, they did as little damage to it as they could have done. Mike told me that his dad told him, this is a town treasure. You can't ruin it because we're just protecting it. It's not something that we can mess up. So
they're just borrowing it for the next.
So many of the opera houses around the state of Ohio and the Midwest have been carved up into other buildings, or they've burned down and things like that. And so we really respect the Brockman family for just kind of keeping it as is. I mean, they didn't try to fix it up, but they didn't do anything to destroy anything either.
That's awesome. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about what's the end game. You know, what do we have as a vision, and what's it going to take to get there? So we'll be back right after this.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
Do you want to work somewhere that is more than a workplace? Look no further than Cooper Farms, where their competitive pay and suburb workforce will make you feel like a part of the family from day one. Cooper Farms has locations in Van Wert, Paulding, and Mercer counties, and positions are open for all work styles. Whether you need a full-time job with competitive pay and excellent benefits, or a flexible part-time position that allows you to set your own hours, Cooper Farms is the place for you to pursue your next career. Go to CooperFarmsJobs.com to join us today and find a new job. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. It has been said time and time again, you get what you pay for. In the case of Simplicity Lawn and Garden Tractors, you get even more. Exclusive features like free-floating mower decks for a perfectly manicured cut, full-width rollers for a beautifully striped lawn, suspension comfort system for a smooth ride, and automatic control traction for the best traction system in industry. So do you want to settle for getting what you pay for or getting more? Visit K&L Tractor Sales to see the exclusive features of a Simplicity.
The Jay County Civic Theater is presenting their production of the Disney musical Moana Jr. June 9th through 12th, Thursday through Sunday at Arts Place in Portland. The shows will be at 7 o'clock on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, and also at 2 p.m. matinee on Sunday afternoon. This great show for the whole family will feature cast members from all around the local area. Stop by and get your tickets at Arts Place at 131 East Walnut Street in Portland or online at myartsplace.org. Presale tickets are $8 for students and $10 for adults and $2 higher if purchased after Wednesday, June 8th. Don't miss your chance to see the Jay County Civic Theater's local production of Moana Jr. coming up June 9th through 12th at Arts Place in Portland. 7 p.m. shows on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, and a Sunday afternoon matinee at 2. Get your tickets now at myartsplace.org or stop by Arts Place and pick them up in person.
We're back in sight. We're back in sight. Jack, Neil, Rocker, and the Opera House ladies. So we were talking about, okay, so we now have the opportunity to get that building. We got the building. The potential is enormous, but it takes a lot of money, takes a lot of labor. We got the grant. So what is the grant going to be used for developing?
The grant is for phase one, basically, of our opera house. It is for securing the structure, possibly new windows, possibly new roof, The building originally had two entryways because it was two different buildings back in the early 1800s or late 1800s. It was a saloon and a drugstore. So we want to put that door back in that was taken out when the hardware store and Brockman were using both sides of the building. They took out one of the doors. So we want to put that door back in, put it back to the original footprint.
Now, that's in the unit that's right on the corner?
Yes, the south side. We want to redo that. So infrastructure things, pin-tucking the brick and repainting the building, that type of thing is what we want to do with the Target of Opportunity grant.
And HVAC is also in there, but of course costs have gone up. So unfortunately, we've been waiting for 2 years to get things rolling. And now, you know, COVID really messed up a lot of things. It delayed this whole grant coming, which should have happened last summer, which would have helped because inflation is rising now and costs are going to go up. So it's really making it difficult for us to estimate and fundraise and try to make sure we have enough money to do what it is we intend to do. But we've got to go. I mean, it could get worse. It could get better. You don't know. And you know, just to sit and wait. And I think we're all like, we're at the starting line, you know.
And it's not just four of us here that are doing this. We have a committee of about 25 people from all walks of life with all different diverse ideas and thoughts and capabilities and talents to use to help get this done. So we will get it done.
Okay. It's too late to go back is kind of what we're said. We kind of raised too much money now, so we have to keep moving forward.
And you've done a huge amount of work. A lot of it isn't like physical putting things together, but some of it like... Kim, we've seen plenty of pictures of her stripping stuff off, and like that's real physical
wallpaper.
Work. But a lot of it is gigantic amount of planning and all that. But some of it is real work, like Kim.
I'm the demo person.
Yeah, if you give Kim a hammer and like a crowbar, you just got to get out of the way.
Yeah, I didn't recognize Kim without the sawdust and stuff in her hair.
Yeah, we've got some really pictures that we're promising not to put out there.
Yeah, we have some more demo going on Friday. We got the outside of the structure is being the back. Side is being tore off the truck bay, so that'll be kind of dramatic. We'll be able to see that happening. I'm looking forward to it. Jill and I are got our eyes on some
like
of the
they
old,
like to watch things fall down.
No, the old wood in there. We want to.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool stuff.
Kind of repurpose some of that. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's great. Are you talking about where you're like have it somewhere where people can see it in the building?
Jill and I are
going to be in your garage somewhere with shelving.
It'd be great to have a use for it. We don't have one yet, but they're old hand-hewn beams that were used in the wooden building that was there before.
Oh.
And so we're not sure how old they are, but they're definitely old. It would have predated a sawmill, and it had all the notches from the joists, and it's just a great piece of history.
Pretty cool.
Yep. Those kind of things are great. So if you put a fireplace in, that can be the mantle.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, you could probably stand up in that fireplace. If the mantle was that big. So it's big. It's big.
Go ahead, Neil. I'm choking.
Well, you're allowed to have a little swallow of something and wash it down. But so you're right now you have the kind of some general plans, correct? Mm-hmm. Not and which is definitely subject to. Change as things come a little better and you figure out what exactly is going to work and maybe a different idea comes up and you just decide to do something slightly different. But as long as you have some good general plans of the general outlay of it, I'm assuming you have that?
Yes, we do. We've got to prioritize our list with Jared Ebbing and his group and with our architects so we can move on it and have a good, just a general plan of how we're going to proceed.
So, architects are on the job, actually, so.
Yeah, a big picture, we'd like some space to have a lobby before you would go up and see a show. We'd like to have some spaces that could be rental spaces, and we'd like to put an elevator shaft, restrooms on the second floor to make the space more inviting, more usable by everybody. And so all of these, right now we're still in the phase of trying to get this done. So we have big ideas and we're putting it all on the table and say we want it all. We want to try to do everything we can to make this space the best possible space it can be.
And make it accessible for everybody. ADA is really a big issue in our mind because you know, if you have a beautiful space up there that could be used for weddings and showers and anniversaries and reunions and plays and speakers and all the things that we envision that happening, it's just unfair to think that there would be some people who could not make 25 steps up.
Yeah, and a lot of the people that would really be interested in that are kind of like me and getting old and needing a cane and walkers, and 25 steps is like a two-day excursion.
I always tell the tours there is no oxygen tank at the top, so take your time.
So the plan is some sort of like a community event center.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's a good. I'm going to write that down.
Karen, if you follow me around, I have so many. Oh, I'll tell you, it's incredible.
I'll bet.
So, what's on the bottom?
It's going to be more than a theater up top, yeah, for sure. I mean, we say opera house. We don't want anybody to get the idea that it's going to be like musical theater and you know, jazz hands and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be more than that. So the bottom.
So we have a couple different ideas and different things. One of the spaces we definitely want to be our lobby in a museum space. The Historical Society has a lot of great things that they don't have space to display, so we can all enjoy them. So we kind of want to dual purpose the lobby as your gathering place when you're getting up to the theater, but also a place to showcase some of this really great history that Fort Recovery has.
Of the downtown of businesses.
If you look around in Fort Recovery, a vast majority of our storefronts are from the late 1800s or early 1900s. We look very Victorian. And whether it was luck or unluck, I don't know which way you would say it, a lot of the buildings haven't been really touched in a major way. And so we have all of these artifacts because Fort Recovery was a big bustling town in the 1890s, 1900s. So we have all these great things from that time frame that really show Victorian life here in Fort Recovery that would be really great to show. So we're going to showcase them in our Victorian building, and hopefully everyone will get to enjoy more of what we have to offer.
Fantastic. So do you have like an ultimate price tag of if like we create what we want, what's it going to cost us?
Your checkbook here?
Hey, I got a scratch off.
Yeah, that changes a lot because, you know, depending on how fundraising goes, it's a moving target. Now inflation is added in. Yeah. So, you know, you got this phase, you got that phase. Then the phase that we really want to fundraise for next is an annex, which is going to be put in that truck bay that's going to be torn off starting Friday morning. And the annex will be in the footprint of that. And we just call it the annex. We just started calling it that. It will house another stairwell, exit stairwell for fire purposes, and then an elevator and some restrooms. There are no restrooms available to it up there. So, we haven't gotten a finalized plan, I guess, is what we want to say. That we just met with them a month ago and kind of went over some other things, and then we got nutty and added a whole bunch more things that we thought. You know, it just depends. We have some fundraising, you know, some funding options that are still in play right now. And can't say yet, but you have to invite us back and we'll
put that on. The problem we have with the final price tag is everything's changing. We're talking to the architect and he's like, but you don't understand, I can't get bids for anything further out than 90 days sometimes, occasionally 6 months, because things are changing so rapidly. And so to put a price tag on this is unrealistic.
Yeah.
Price and availability is...
Exactly.
It's mm-hmm. absolutely... Well, if you've been to the grocery store, you know it's a moving target. Everything.
Well, so if we don't have like a end price tag, how about an end timeline type thing?
If funding comes in that we're hoping for soon, and we don't want to discourage anyone.
You just got this big,
I know,
big grant. What else do you need?
Skeleton. This is going to fix everything that people are going to see. You know, the painting, the roof, and all that. Yep. Yeah, to get the elevators. 2026? I hope not. Kim's got her flashcards out.
But when you think about it, though, I mean.
Well, maybe 20. I mean,
Yeah, it's only 3 years.
That's not unrealistic.
It's not unrealistic. Once we break ground on that annex elevator, what do you think, Jill? Take a year to build that?
At least a year.
Take at least a year to build that, to put the elevator in. Unfortunately, we can't put an elevator in the existing building. There is a lift in there. We call it the lift.
We have to have it done by 27 because I've got my class reunions.
Oh, is that okay? So Kim's class reunions could be the
class of
one of the first events there. Yeah. We're not scheduling any weddings just yet. But yeah. And a big part of that depends on a lot of the stuff that's going to go in inside the Opera House once we get it HVAC'd and wired. Is restoration of artistic things.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult to even say, how much is that going to cost? Because an artist is not going to say, well, it will take me 2 hours to do that or 4 hours to do that, because artistic people just don't work that way. And we don't really know how much can be restored and how much will have to be totally reimagined, kind of thing too. But I'm just proud to say this is an amazing committee, and we have worked really together so well, so many different talents and stuff. And like I said, we're at the point of no return, and it is going to move forward. It just depends on how big that moving forward will be. And hopefully we don't have to step back, but you always do.
Sure.
You build a house.
Anytime you have a large project.
Yeah, you run out of money, and so you just put in Formica countertops instead of, the highfalutin stuff. And so they told us at the beginning, dream big, think big, tell us everything you want, and then go from there. So I would think that within 6 months or so, we would be able to tell people this is what we need to. We've raised over $1 million. We can tell you that we've raised over $1 million. Yep.
Rocker, bless your heart.
I know.
It wasn't all him.
He can only do so much. No? It's up to the rest of y'all.
Yeah. So,
and we didn't have, seriously, when we started, we had to get Friends of the Arts involved so we could get a 501c3, because we did not have two nickels to rub together. Yeah. And I remember that we were all donating. Oh, here, I'll go buy a table and stuff like that. So we were all donating a lot of our own money to get materials to get started.
Yeah.
And so some groups, I think we borrowed money for the first initial evaluation that we did from some of the town groups. So
you talked about the one part would be like a lobby museum type thing. What about the other part? Has there been plans for that? Or there have been 9,000 plans?
Yeah, there are. Yeah. Forward, backward.
Yeah. We'd like to have some kind of rental spaces. A building like this is going to take a lot of maintenance and upkeep.
Rental for retail businesses? Is that what you're talking about? Or
business of some kind.
Someone who's willing to pay us money every month, and they'll have a presence in town, and we'll have an income so we can
have
pay
a presence in
the
one
opera
of the great buildings.
It's a perfect location.
Yeah,
how
could you get
the
a better
rent
location?
Yeah, it's the high rent district, we call it.
I was in the low rent part of that building, and I loved that spot because you could see everything that was going on.
You should
on
see it
all
now.
Day long.
It really went low rent because
we
gave Kim a crowbar now, and the rest is history.
But I would disagree. I'd say it went up and rent.
But it did.
It's beautiful.
It is. It's very, the high ceilings and stuff now.
Yeah, it's
the potential is really.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. The intent is we want this community space to be around for generations and generations to come. So this income will allow us to pay our utility bills, and some of those everyday boring things that nobody really wants to address. And so this is one way that we can kind of get that. Whether it's retail or office or exactly how these spaces are going to be used yet, we're not 100% sure, restaurant, whatever. We haven't figured out all of those ins and outs yet.
Yep. Well, I'd say anybody that wouldn't want to be in there, it's crazy. It's just that is such a high profile. Anybody that goes through town is going to see that building, going to see your name right there, and you can't get better exposure than that in this town.
And we want to improve the look of the downtown as well, and have businesses, thriving businesses. I mean, when you go through other towns and you look at a lot of empty buildings, we don't have that here.
Yeah.
We do have a lot of young entrepreneurs and people starting up businesses here, and you can spend some time in the downtown.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the plans and what's next, and what do you guys need? Okay, so we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Here at Hall Brothers, your local Case IH dealer, we want you to put the very best into your machine so you can get the very best out of your machine. Choose to use CNH Industrial Genuine Parts. Only CNH Industrial Genuine Parts are specifically engineered to fit and function perfectly with your Case IH equipment. They deliver the performance your business demands while giving you the durability your schedule depends on. So when you want to maximize your performance, go with the original, CNH Industrial Genuine Parts. To find CNH Industrial Genuine Parts, visit Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery.
Are you looking for great food fast? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them do the cooking. You want wings, but the kids want pizza? No problem. Everybody can get what they want. Wings, pizza, great sandwiches, subs, fried goodies. Just call them, then drive through and pick it up. And call Miracle Lanes to reserve your lanes for your kid's birthday party or other get-together. Just call them at 375-4274 now and get your party booked. And be sure to stop out on Fridays at lunch for their great pizza and wing buffet with salad bar. Great food and lots of fun at Miracle Lanes. Stop out or call them at 375-4274. The high school and junior high choirs will be holding their spring concert this Sunday at the middle school auditoria starting at 6 p.m. and the public is invited and there's no charge. These choirs have been working hard this year, and this is your chance to stop out and show them your appreciation as they perform their shows. Make your plans now to get to the spring concert presented by the high school and junior high choirs this Sunday evening at 6 at the middle school auditorium. It's that time of year again. The Trinity Lutheran Church is having their annual ice cream social on Sunday, June 12th from 3:30 to 7. They have all your favorite flavors, peach, pineapple, maple nut, strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. Besides their awesome homemade ice cream, they'll also have hot dogs, coney dogs, sloppy joes, and cream turkey, plus cookies, pie, brownies, or angel food cake, all for a free will donation. Stop in and visit with friends while you enjoy the great food and ice cream, or you can pick it up and take it home. And they'll also have half gallons of their delicious homemade ice cream to take home and enjoy. Buy a couple on your way out. Don't miss it. The Trinity Lutheran Church's Ice Cream Social from 3:30 to 7 on Sunday, June 12th at the corner of Wayne Street and 49. The church with the beautiful carillon bells.
Yeah, let them do it.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Kim Rammel, Carol Judy, Jill Andrews, Karen Myring talking about the Morbilius Opera House. Okay. And, you know, so we've received this grant that's going to kind of rebuild the shell or at least make it stable to a certain extent.
And watertight.
And watertight, and which snow is tight. Important.
Yeah. We had snow in the windowsills this
and
winter.
And electric and HVAC. So
let's talk about that. So from a who's doing the work standpoint, you mentioned architects. So who's the main architect?
It's John Freitag. It's Freitag and Associates. Yep. They're out of Sydney. And so he's been the primary architect and his son, Adam.
So have like they done stuff like this before?
Yes. Yes, and that's part of the reason they ended up on our team is because they have done historic stuff before. They were recommended based on their previous work.
Awesome. So then when it comes to Kim, you can't do it all. I know you think you can, okay, but you can't do it. So
all I do is demo, Jack. That's it. I don't do construction.
He drops the hammer and it's the red.
I'm almost
else
done with that.
Cleans it up.
I tear off this back end and I'm done.
You're done. So when it comes time to get the plumbers and the electricians. Who's going to do that work?
We hope to keep it as local as we can use our local people. And anybody out there that wants to offer to help us out, we would love to hear from you. Like I said, we use our local as much as we can. If we can't, if it's something that we have to follow a certain code or something for, we may have to use someone from outside of the area. We're not closing off any options at this point. But, if and anybody wants to volunteer, we're there.
And Jared will get the bids for the Target of Opportunity part. That will be prevailing wages
and Jared Ebbing.
Stuff too. Jared Ebbing, yes. Yep. He's been a huge help.
We give Jared recommendations on who, we give him names, and then they'll put out bids for the jobs.
So after that, not sure what
we're going to do. Yeah, so we have input, but Jared will ultimately get it all lined up for us.
And he's for county. Yeah.
So who wrote the grant?
Well, it was a simple thing. I just put the budget together. Kind of pie in the sky thing. I mean, I had about 48 hours to turn it around, and so I was frantically calling and getting some people to come in, just basically to get an estimate. And if we want to throw a little bit more money in now, we could do that at that point too. So we just had to tell them what we wanted to do, about how much it would be. But now we're looking at, we not only prioritize like 1, 2, and 3. I think we need to put the bottom three because there are going to be some things that aren't going to happen.
Jared Ebbing's office and Renee, they helped put it together. We gave them the information and they put the grant proposal together in the format that it needed to be and everything. So they were a big help with
that. What I did was simple. I just did a spreadsheet. Here's what we think we want. And then Jared's been a huge, huge asset to this whole
process. If there's a better economic development person in the state, I would like to meet him.
Well, he's gotten a lot of those kinds of grants, and I think it's because they know he's not going to put his name on it unless it's a worthwhile project and the people are going to see it through and, do right by it. Plus, we have a great work ethic in this part of the state.
Yeah.
I think they know that if we throw money in that part of the state, it's going to go to good use.
The next phase is the annex, which is a new elevator shaft, not necessarily the elevator, just the infrastructure for it, I guess.
Well, the elevator will be housed within a building. So the building will be two stories to get that elevator up to the second floor. It will also have restrooms. And we have a few other things on our wish list that whether we get them or not, we don't know. But restrooms and elevator are the main thing to go in the annex.
So the elevator itself is part of this
part of phase two in the annex. Okay. Because we can't put it in the historically accurate building. So we're putting it in the annex out back.
We could, but the
we don't want to.
There's a whole bunch of buts.
There are quite a few problems with that. With the building being historic and having so much historic fabric original in it, if you're going to add an elevator shaft, it has to be 100% up to code in Ohio. They don't give any lenience for historic construction unless it was an existing historic passenger elevator. So the only way for us to have an elevator that people can ride in is for it to be the CMU fire-rated shaft, and it has all these requirements, which is why the idea of putting it in an annex really seems like the only way to accomplish that without ruining our building.
Yeah, you'd have to probably somehow alter what the Opera House looks like to get it up.
You'd have to come into the Opera House with that.
You don't want to do that.
If you didn't put it outside of it.
And you're going to have to put restrooms in there anyway somewhere, so if you don't want to start cutting into the Opera House, because that is what we're trying to save. So adding on at the back, it sounds like a great option.
The new construction will allow us, because with the historic building, we can get around some of the building codes and the requirements that today. So today, you have to follow very stringent requirements, especially for an area like ours that's public access. And so with this annex portion, the annex will be under the new modern building codes with the fire codes and the plumbing and safety and all of that. And that will allow us to better protect the existing building as is. and still meet the requirements and make sure everyone's safe.
Mm-hmm. And we want to add a little area where we can put catering things like roaster pans, things like that, which will increase the flexibility of using that facility for off-site luncheon meetings, yeah, or showers, or places where people are going to carry in food or carry in, mm-hmm, dinners, and just keep everything, like Jill said, outside of the footprint of the existing historic building and have it in that new shiny
box.
Awesome space. Awesome, but not too expensive space. We hope.
So, and this might be a really dumb question, okay, but...
Well, you're good at that.
Hey.
That's why we love you.
I do it all the time. You know, this was the Morbilius Opera House, okay? What's it going to be? I mean, is there a new name for it?
The Jack Stogler Opera House.
Yeah, after a huge donation.
Yeah, depending on the size of the check.
I think we really want to keep that portion of it. We're selling naming rights, which is good you brought that up, because that wasn't one of our talking points. But we do have naming rights on certain parts of that. We have sold the naming right for the performance hall. We're going to call it the Jack Stogler Performance Hall. We cannot name that person yet because we're waiting on permission to be able to do that.
Bob's going to kill you.
He's going to kill me. There's just no doubt. So there are naming rights for the annex as well. Yeah. If someone gets their name on that, it'll be on the inside, probably be somewhere on the outside. Can't guarantee.
We can stop calling it the annex.
We can stop calling the annex, and it could be the Stogler family
shaft.
Yeah.
No.
Or something.
Let's look for a different naming thing. Yeah. So I have a personal question, okay, for Kim.
Okay.
I thought we weren't doing gotcha questions tonight.
No. Better have another sip of wine. Kim.
What caused you to become so passionate with this?
Karen. You were.
It's my fault?
Yes, it's your fault. I went on one of her tours. I'd never been up there. Heard about the place, heard it was condemned. You couldn't get up there, it was unsafe. Then the tour started. What was that last celebration? It was the
225?
Yeah, 225, probably. Whatever that. Yeah. And I went up and listened to her tour, and I was just like enthralled. She was so passionate, and I was like, if something moves on this, I want to be a part of it. I decided right then.
And I think at the 225, we didn't know. We were just doing tours.
No, but she was like, just sold it, you know? It was so cool. And that's,
I came on this committee just because of the theater part of it.
Yeah.
You and I ended up kind of like the...
Yeah, Karen was like, I don't know if I can do this.
I don't know.
Don't quit.
Yep, let's rip out floor tile.
And I just bring that up because, I mean, poor Jill was kind of destined to be involved. When, like, you look at her dad and her mom, I mean, it's in her genes to be involved.
And her education in architecture.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And historic buildings.
You know, but when you take, you know, local people with really no connection to a certain extent, just a you know, passion to give back or a passion to build it better. It's just so cool to see people get involved like that.
No, thank you.
And Carol, too.
Yeah.
Carol went out and bought the house.
Yeah. She already had a place.
Actually, a really cool place to live.
I did join the committee before I bought the house.
Yeah. She was like, you went face
and
houses
then,
for sale.
And then one day the committee is talking about getting someone else to buy that house and have someone take care of it and live in it and so that we can tour it and things like that. And I'm like, no. I had to let the cat out of the bag and say, please don't talk anyone else into buying that house because I'm trying to buy that house.
We didn't even know.
Amazing.
And it all worked out, and I've been there over a year now, and I absolutely love it, and it is Faye's house.
She's our Faye expert. She's the go-to Faye.
And she's
Faye
communicated
person.
A lot with the Morbilius family. She's brought a lot of interest in.
I have made
with
some
family.
New fans. Yeah. The cool story is someone walked out of Kalp Pharmacy one day and saw the Morbilius Opera House sign on the building and called their friends over in Daleville, Indiana, whose last name happened to be Morbilius, and said, did you know that there's an opera house with your name on it in Fort Recovery? And that started a whole thing. And they came over, Gene and Martha came over to tour the opera house. And Gene tells me he has a cousin that lives in Florida, in Sarasota, and my place is in Bradenton. So next thing I know, he's handing me his phone, and she's on the line. And I have been to her house. I've talked to her. I told her tonight, if you're listening, hi, Diane. She was going to listen tonight. Diane. And they have just become such major supporters of the house. And they have actually found some extra distant cousins that they didn't know existed since all of this started with the Morvilius Opera House. So it's added to their family.
How cool is that?
And they are coming for the Taste of the Town, a good way to get into that. We are going to be doing some tours for the Taste of the Town on June 15th. And the Morvilius family will be here in mass, I hope, to enjoy that evening.
Well, we'll get them down there shaking hands and taking pictures with people.
Absolutely.
This will be awesome.
Absolutely.
Shaking hands and kissing babies.
That's right. Yeah. Get your picture taken with the Morvilius. What could be better?
Yeah.
That Diane has her motel reservations all taken care of. She is coming up from Florida.
Is it going to be hotel reservations? Isn't she staying at the bed and breakfast?
I offered. It is not a bed and breakfast, but I did offer, but she chose otherwise. So she has her plans made. Yep.
Tell them about the picture.
She has.
Are you ready to talk about that?
Her father was a cousin of Faye's, and if he were still alive, she said he would be just absolutely thrilled with all of this that's going on right now. But she has a beautiful picture of Faye standing in a long gown, looking very pensive, holding a program in her hand, and she's donating that to us. To the Opera House. So that will be in the opera. And
is it like a photograph or is it a...
It's an oil, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, okay. I saw it briefly in her home, and she is donating that to us. She talked at one time of having a copy made for us, and I'm not sure which it is exactly that we're getting, but it's supposed to be shipping here soon, and I will be in charge of it until the Opera House is a little less dusty and able to come up to our museum area.
Yep. That's awesome.
Fantastic. So, I'll tell you what. Some good things going on.
Yeah.
So we're going to take another break and come back and talk a little bit more about the Taste of the Town and other things that you guys kind of have in the plan. So we'll be back right after this.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Do you have a graduation party coming up? Wayne Street Market has everything you need to put together a great party. Call ahead for their great roasted chicken and their delicious beef, barbecue pork, or shredded chicken. Get a few pounds or a roaster full. Just let them know 48 hours ahead of time. And don't forget to call ahead to order their party trays, fruit, vegetables, sandwiches, cookies, and of course their famous meat and cheese trays. And while you're there, don't forget to grab the soft drinks, beer, wine, and all the snacks. Get everything you'll need for your graduation party at Wayne Street Market, the hometown store that saves you more.
It's that time of year again. The Trinity Lutheran Church is having their annual ice cream social on Sunday, June 12th from 3:30 to 7. They have all your favorite flavors, peach, pineapple, maple nut, strawberry, chocolate, and vanilla. Besides their awesome homemade ice cream, they'll also have hot dogs, coney dogs, sloppy joes, and cream turkey, plus cookies, pie, brownies, or angel food cake, all for a free will donation. Stop in and visit with friends while you enjoy the great food and ice cream, or you can pick it up and take it home. And don't forget to take home an extra half gallon or two of their delicious homemade ice cream. Don't miss it. The Trinity Lutheran Church's Ice Cream Social from 3:30 to 7 on Sunday, June 12th at the corner of Wayne Street and 49. The church with the beautiful Caroline bells.
We still have naming rights.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
Sorry. Karen keeps talking.
It is a talk show, so Jack.
I know, but it's so uncharacteristic of me.
It is a talk show. It's exactly what we want.
So I tell you what, the breaks, I really wish we'd keep the microphones on, because the knowledge and the passion and the excitement that you guys have, and you know, we have to bring this up. We have to bring this up. And
well, just ask them those questions, eh, Jack.
Yeah, and you, Carol, saying it's not a bed and breakfast. You know, she doesn't want people living in her house.
People knocking on your door.
Grandkids, yes.
If someone wants to make special arrangements, it could probably be arranged, but it's not a regular thing.
But it's.
I have two guest bedrooms upstairs. You have to be able to do the steps.
Yep.
And you can't, unless I think with the new zoning stuff, you have to.
They would have to be, as my guests, they couldn't be bed and breakfast customers.
Yeah, so it can't be just some stranger moving into your house. Right. So there goes all my money for. I was thinking I was going to rent out a couple of my bedrooms to people come to the tractor pulls. Mm-hmm. Can't do that.
No. So, so let's talk about. Okay, so we mentioned the Taste of the Town. Let's kind of formally kind of say what's going on there.
Well, we're going to have a tent and a table. We'll have a lot of pictures, drawings. We have Jane Dipple did a beautiful rendition, artistic impression of what that space might look like at the Opera House. We also have the drawing that Freitags did for us very originally, so don't hold us to anything. And I've got some photos of Faye and Russell. We have brochures to hand out. Hey, glad you brought it up. Remember the swirly suckers. From the 1980s and 90s at the basketball games. The life suckers, swirly suckers.
Nope.
No? Are you kidding, Jack? It was the only thing that kept me from getting thrown out, because if I had a sucker in my mouth, it wouldn't yell at the refs.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those suckers? They looked like a giant lifesaver,
yes.
But they had like blueberry and vanilla.
Oh, my God. Yes.
We have them. I got like, I hate to say, about 30 bags. I went to Target when they first came out, and they're not doing them anymore. So if you want to come up and get a few suckers with a $5 donation, you can do that. So
fantastic.
We're
going
to be there to talk to people, and then we'll organize a couple of tours. We can only take about 50 people, 49 at a time. I'm a terrible counter, so you know, we'll see what happens. So if you haven't been up there, or you have been up there and you just want to see like what it looks like now that we uncovered, I didn't say that. 49. I'm sticking to it. 49, and I'm sticking
Count
to it.
Count yourself, Karen.
Jill, I do. Hope the fire department's not.
I was looking for the defibrillator when she said that. Jill was about had a heart attack.
And so we're going to take some people up. And, you know, I was up there with Kim, and Carol and Kim got up on the scaffolding, and we took more wallpaper off because we were interested in seeing what was on the ceiling. Because believe it or not, they wallpapered, they put burlap on the walls at one time, and there are two layers of wallpaper on the ceiling. So they are really not very smart people, because if you ever do that once, you will never do it twice. Yeah. And so when Kim was up there and she took off above the proscenium, there is a portrait of William Shakespeare that probably has not been seen since 1900. Or 1905, wow. Or something like that.
It was pretty exciting.
It was pretty exciting. We were screaming a lot and dancing around and stuff. So
it's on our Facebook page. That video.
It is on
there.
The Facebook page.
Now that was
video.
Back last summer.
Last summer,
yeah,
maybe
it was like 90
yep.
degrees that time.
Yeah.
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 And it gets cooler as you get way up there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
We have no sense at all, really.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, and so if you haven't been up there for a while and you want to see what it looks like, you know, kind of all cleaned up and most of the wallpaper gone.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. I haven't seen it for a year or so, and I think I've been up there three times in the last few years, and every time I go up there, I learn something new. We even had, I think, Faye's ghost come out and sing a song.
Well, glad you mentioned that, because she might just be making another appearance.
Oh, that'd be tremendous. Yeah. That was neat.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So don't give it all away. But,
okay. Well, yeah. Do a teaser.
We'll have a blast from the past.
There we go.
So when that building was built, was it built with the thought that there'd be an opera house at the top of it? Yeah.
It was built as an opera house.
Okay.
But it wasn't Morvilius that built it, correct?
No, it was Schneider, and then Adams had a part in it also. And when the Schneiders died, then Adams was the sole owner. And then Doc Adams died, and Mrs. Adams sold it to Russell Morvilius in about 1898.
And
it was built in 1883.
Okay.
So there was about 15, 16 years there that the Adams and the Schneiders ran it. And then Mr. Morvilius took over until it was closed in 1939, which is the same year that he died.
Okay.
So. And he kept a tremendous scrapbook, which came into the hands of the Historical Society. And so we know dates and
pamphlets,
pamphlets and programs and all that kind of stuff. And I looked up one of the guys because when I do the tour, there is a trapdoor in the floor. And it's really small. There's a box inside there. Normally, there's not a box in there. You can go in from the dressing room or some other place to wait your turn to pop out of there. In Hamlet, in Act Two, the ghost appears. And so I use that as my thing. I said, you know, in Hamlet, blah, blah, blah. And it's hard to imagine that Hamlet appeared, was played here in Fort Recovery, but it did. You can imagine the farmers and everybody wanting to see Hamlet. So the guy, Edmund Hoyt, his name was huge on the program, and I thought, this guy's somebody, because they advertised him. Usually stock companies are just random people and nobody knows their names. So I looked him up, and he's on the International Movie Database. He made 39 movies.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. So I need to sit down with those programs and start Googling the people that were in them and see what I can find, too. I found a few things about some of the companies, but he was the first individual, so... I think if we get time in between all our planning, that would be a fun thing to go chasing rabbits and see what we can find.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. When the Opera House was built, it was a Victorian thing to do. If you were a town of class and culture, you built an opera house.
Mm-hmm.
And in our area, most community events were held at churches because they tend to be one church in a town. Fort Recovery has so many churches that the Opera House was the community gathering space. It's called an Opera House to give that sense of culture, but opera actually being, I mean, you're better at that than opera was probably never sung up there.
Some operatic songs, but maybe that was the extent of it pretty much.
Faye would have done some operatic songs, but most of the performances would have been random vaudeville type of things and all kinds of other. What was the Farmers
Institute.
Yep. They did a bunch of those, which was apparently a huge deal back.
Wouldn't it be neat to bring that back again?
Oh, absolutely.
And get some of these farmers together and, you know, just have
meetings.
Could be meetings.
Or
share information.
Or you could
and
save your time and just watch Ag Day on every morning. Channel 35. But, yeah, that's the kind of thing that, you know, you could get great information and stuff like that. I read a little bit about those farmers' institutes, and it's just a neat thing.
So when Russell passed away in 1939, did Faye leave town?
No, actually, Faye at that point stayed in town with her mother, and she became the owner of the Opera House. She owned it for about 5 years, and then she sold it. Or gave it away, we're not quite sure which, a few years later. And then her mother died in 45, and she continued to live in the house by herself until she passed away in 1970. So that property was in the Morvilius name from the 1890s through 1970 when she passed away.
No kid.
She was born in the house and died in the house.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's Faye's house.
Yes.
Carol's just cool.
Do you ever get to see her now? Does she appear in your house from time to time?
I have not. Now, the people that lived there before me, in between Andy and I, they swore that there were ghosts in the house. But I have small dogs, and they always say animals will alert at those kinds of things first. They have never shown me any indication of anybody else being there. But my grandchildren are afraid to go upstairs after dark. Maybe not a bad thing.
To the third floor or the second floor?
They won't even go to the second floor after dark.
The third floor is really
good. During the daytime, they'll go up to the second floor. And they love the third floor if somebody adult-like is with them. But.
Yeah, I got to go through the, I guess it's Christmas. Mm-hmm. And it's neater inside than it is outside, and it's awesome outside. Mm-hmm. I love that place.
Andy did a great job restoring.
Yes, he did, and you did some other changes. But when he brought it back from somebody trying to modernize it back to what it's supposed to be, and you added some to that, and it's just I love that place.
I hope to keep it in phase style.
Good.
Cool. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take one more break, and we're going to come back and recap everything and make sure that we touch on everything that we want people to know about.
That Jack is paying for the annex.
Yeah.
That's at the top of the list.
That was anonymous. Karen,
anonymous,
you said you're going to keep us anonymous.
That was anonymous. Oh, well, me and my mouth.
So at least some of us will be back right after this.
Jack.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
If you are like me, then finding a job that fits your timeline is vital for you to be able to work at all. Cooper Farms lets me set my own schedule so that I can work when I have the time to. No one should have to choose between their family and their career. Thanks to Cooper Farms, you don't have to. With locations Van Wert, Paulding, Mercer County, and beyond, Cooper Farms has the flexibility and competitive pay I needed to work without sacrificing time with my family. Visit CooperFarmsJobs.com to find your new job today. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. Are you in the process of buying, starting, or selling a business, or maybe just trying to get more bang for your buck out of your current operation? Well, those are things I'm here to help with. I have 26 years of experience as a banker, CFO, and business owner. I've helped clients in all industries in areas such as financing, budgeting, staffing, and other areas like succession planning and project management. One of the biggest challenges I had as an entrepreneur was finding someone experienced to confide, share ideas, ask questions, and ultimately put the best plan together in a truly confidential way. These are things I valued and now want to pay forward for your operation. Come see me today for a financial plan and wellness review. It's nice to have someone on your side because as a business owner, I know it's never easy out there, and especially now. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, today at 419-852-4049 and have yourself a great day.
The Village of Fort Recovery is having its annual spring cleanup day for our village residents on Saturday, May 14th. They start picking up the items very early that day, so please have your items at the curb by 5 a.m. You'll need to have your small items bundled or boxed, and you can't have items longer than 6 feet long. They cannot pick up tree limbs or yard waste, wet paint cans, tires, railroad ties, bricks, rocks, or concrete items of any kind. Appliances and other metal items will be picked up, and there's a limit of 2 large furniture items per household. Get your pickup items ready. Spring cleanup day for village residents will be on Saturday, May 14th, and you'll need to have your items at the curb by 5 a.m.
We're back.
We're almost through giggling now.
Ladies, this has been a very fast hour. And I've learned a lot. I think the people that are listening have learned a lot. So let's make sure that we touch on the important pieces of what was covered. First, the block grant that we received. Okay. So share a little bit about that.
So the Target of Opportunity grant is going to allow us to do a lot of the important things that aren't so sexy. So we're going to make sure the building is weather tight and watertight. Hopefully we'll be able to do some work on the electrical and the HVAC, bring some of these things up to code. we anticipate this building being a part of the community for decades to come, so we want to make sure that everything is ready to go for that.
And it's sound, and it's dirty, and... Up to this point, it has been kind of a demo project, mm-hmm. Like, you're just trying to find out what's there and how good the bones are. The grant enables us to kind of start the remodel, let's say.
Yeah, it's definitely going to help us. We have roof leaks that we've kind of patched, and it's stable right now, I guess you could say, but it's not going to last very long. And yeah. So before we really get into restoring it and making it the space we want it to be, we need to make sure it's not going to get damaged in the meantime. So the roof is a big part of it. The windows, they're leaking and falling apart, and they don't keep the noise out from 119. So these are things that we feel are must-haves before we can really roll into the meat of it. And it's, you say, oh, will you help us get new windows? Like, that's not what people want to hear. They want to see the theater. They want to be a part of that.
Sure.
And so this grant is really going to help us with that first phase. The structure is truly in pretty good condition. We're really fortunate that it's been so well kept through the years. It's just we need to upgrade it so we're good for the next several decades.
Yep. Yeah. I think people donated thinking we're going to fix up the Opera House, and we are.
Yeah.
But we have to make sure the ceiling is totally stenciled and painted in beautiful pattern. And the last thing we want to do is begin that process and restore it, and then go like, oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. We missed a leak. Yep. And that could be tragic.
So the grant helps us with that first part. And almost from an immediate standpoint, we're going to start kind of like a phase two with the annex, correct?
Well, we're trying to get the annex. The annex is expensive. Let's face it, new elevators, new plumbing, that is expensive. And it's not all available. Grants aren't available in the same way for that kind of construction. And so we want to get the building weather tight. So it's good for the future. We want to get our down floor spaces renovated and ready to go. That's something that we can start working on. And
then that can help generate some income. It won't mm-hmm. it won't rebuild the whole thing, but
well, again, at the taste
help
of the
pace
town,
for some of the...
If you come up to the taste of the town, we'll be in front of the building. So you can poke your head in and see that it's not just going to be brand new downstairs. It's going to be brand new old downstairs.
Yeah. Yep.
We have the old wood floors exposed now, and we have tin ceiling exposed. So
that's great.
We'd love for people to be able to see that. I don't know. Jill's like, we're not ready to put people in there yet, but we'll see.
People like to see progress.
Yeah, there is progress.
Because so far on the outside, you don't see much. But if you stick your nose up against the window, you can see some stuff going on. But then that just makes you curious. If you care.
We've been in a lull for a while.
I've got some ideas. I like to partition off an area so people just walk in and look, take a peek without going through, because the floor's got some bad spots. But I want to let everybody know that we're going to be posting a lot more pictures on Facebook coming up, as we progress. We'll be keeping everybody posted. We've been in a kind of a lull. We haven't been posting a lot because we haven't been doing anything. But now it's going to start amping up really fast.
So the Facebook name is Fort Recovery Opera House?
Morvilius Opera House. But if you put Fort Recovery Opera House, it'll probably
if you start, you're, it's, you'll probably have trouble spelling Morvilius, but if you get the MORV, it's probably going to start popping up. You're gonna find
I have trouble spelling opera, Neil. So.
Well, that if you put in opera first, it's going to take you a while to find Morvilius.
Well, you'll go through a lot of places.
Let me just, I don't know, I just was thinking a minute ago, about 15 years ago, Jill's aunt, Joan, mm-hmm. and Marianne Olding, there was a committee of 20, 30 people trying to get that going. I think all that did was get everybody excited about it. There was zero funding available from anywhere except local. And all of the regulations said they were going to have to do this and this and this. It's going to cost $3 million. They thought they could get some Historical Society, Ohio Historical Society, the name of it at the time. grants, but it wasn't going to be anywhere near what they needed, and they were going to try to figure out how to get $2.5 million out of the local area, and it just wasn't feasible. They just couldn't get it done. But I think that got a lot of people thinking, it is so incredible. Plus, I think that they didn't, even Marianne didn't know of anybody that knew how to restore one. Now, all of a sudden, there's several people that have done some, and I think we've talked to the guy I saw that did a presentation up there, and he's done several of them in the meantime since then, that there's somebody that really knows what they're doing.
There's a renaissance going on right now.
Yeah. And at that time, we would have been the first one, but it cost us $3 million. And it probably wouldn't have been done right.
There were some restrictions on that, too.
Yes.
With the committee wouldn't actually own the building because it was still Brockman's building. And there were some things that were really hard to navigate. Yes. So we've crossed some of those hurdles, which has been a huge help for us. With the nonprofit owning the building, that opens us up to a lot of grants that you wouldn't be available otherwise for. So we're hoping to leverage everything we can on that side to try to get as much help in making this really the community space that we are hoping for. I will agree that a lot of them have been done lately, but once we get ours done, anybody who wants to come see it, you'll see that we're different.
Yes.
The paintings, the murals on the walls of ours is something that I think is not very common. I've not seen it.
The fellow that we had up here, don't remember his name, I don't know if he's still involved, but he said this is by far the most elaborate and probably the best preserved one he's seen, and he'd done a dozen of them around
very
the state.
Very unique. I've seen a lot and looked at some online. We've visited some, and they're beautiful and they're quaint, but this is literally somebody got a paintbrush and didn't know when to quit. I mean, they painted every single square inch.
An artist, not a guy slapping paint on that's all white or anything.
Yeah.
And I just saw a couple of years, or maybe last year, I saw a thing. A Convoy had an opera house, but the only thing they were able to recreate was the sconces on the wall with the lights. Is that right name? Sconces, scones, whatever it is, with the lights. The rest of it is just plain painted stuff with a, I think it might have had a stage, but it wasn't even remotely like ours. It was just, and that's a really nice place. And they do all kinds of things there. And it's just solid paint walls with old light fixtures.
And I love ours because it's flexible. A lot of the opera houses have sloped floors.
Yeah.
And once you do that, that's all it can be is a concert venue.
It's a theater,
It's a theater or concert hall of some sort. This, with having the flat floor and the sloped floor of the stage, changes the whole atmosphere of that. So you could do yoga classes on the floor. You could do the children's
dance, a group meal, a wedding reception,
all those kinds of things.
You can have a conference and with lunch and stuff.
Right. It's a lot more flexible.
Yeah.
Carol?
Company Christmas party. I like that idea.
There you go. We didn't put that in the brochure. We needed to send it back.
Back in the early 1900s, there were like 400 opera houses throughout the state of Ohio. Every major city or small town had one, or quite a few of them, by 1939, and today there are 50 to 20 of them left.
No kidding.
Not only is ours the most decorative and artistic, it is one of only 20 left in the state.
Wow.
So we really have an extra gem by ours being the most special.
Yes. Mary Diller kept telling me, you got to go to Columbus Grove. Is that where they're from? You got to go to Columbus Grove and see theirs. It's really neat. I know the guy. We'll hook you up. We'll get you a tour and everything. And I'll bet you 3 months later, it burned down.
Oh, no.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And there was a pizza parlor down below. And you know what happens, fire, whatever.
That's awful.
And it burned to the ground.
Because I'll bet you, knowing only a few people from around there, those people are like us. They wanted to do it exactly right, and it was beautiful.
I'll tell you what. Let's go around the table and highlight a point about the project or the opera house that you want to make sure that we share before we call it a night. So we'll start with Kim.
I want to share. This building is special. It's beautiful. I'm into restoration, and I'd love to see the bones of the building. And just tearing off all the interior and seeing the bones has been really fun for me. Yeah. Jill can attest to that. We're kind of both weird about that. Loving to see the guts of the building, and that's special.
That's cool. Carol?
I want to think towards the future and see what it's going to be when we get done with all this restoration, and I hope everybody hangs with us and is able to help us out if they can.
Yep. Jill?
Well, one of the things I really love about this building is it's going to bring... We have more historic. We already have all these other historic things. So this is going to add one more kind of feather in our cap. But it's not just a historic monument. It's a living, breathing community space that hopefully for generations to come, they're going to be able to use. So I think that will really put us on the map.
Fantastic.
That's awesome.
Plus the location of it. I mean, it's
the building.
Well, it's
the heart
at
of the
heart. You know,
yep.
And it just fits it well. Yeah. Karen?
One of the highlights for me was Tracy Evers Westcurtis and I went up and we began to clean and document all of the flats that are up there and all the signatures that were on the back. And there was a time where it was like you felt like your own Wheel of Fortune needed to buy a vowel because you couldn't make out what the names were exactly. And it was so exciting. And I looked at Tracy and I said, do you realize... that person's name has probably not been said out loud for 100 years. And here we are talking about that name and that person. So the whole historical aspect, and then Tracy said, we got to put it on Google Drive. And so now if you put in someone's name, you know, someone who is in town here and remembers their great-grandmother, and we type that name in, if we typed it into Google Drive, it'll pop up.
That's really awesome.
It is, because then you can say, you know, was my grandma up there?
Is there any way you can see how many people might have clicked on that particular name?
We have to do it because we have to all be members of Google Drive to do it. But okay, and if anyone's interested to say, you know, would my ancestors archive it and we could put it in on a monitor or a kiosk or something like that. But and the other thing that I want to close with is that this big amount of money that's coming in is great, but we have more needs.
Sure.
And we want to make sure that people don't think, oh, well, they got this $250,000 grant. They don't need my $50 or my $5. And we do. All of the money that we raised up to that point with small donations,
If it's like most of the grants, you have to show that you have some local money involved to be able to get a penny from them.
True.
So much less $250,000.
So if you want to donate $100, just do it 5 at a time because it looks like a whole lot more people donate. It will really look good for us on the grants.
You know, when like you talked about the you know first time you said their name and like $100, it just had the feeling of Robin Williams in the Dead Poets Society when he's showing the pictures in the case and these young men that are no longer there, you know, and it's cool when you think of the history.
They're living, breathing people.
Yeah.
They lived and worked here and got married and raised their families here.
Local people. Some of the ones in the traveling companies signed their names also, but there's lots of local names.
Lots of local names.
Yep.
So, ladies, this has been a lot of fun. And for those of you listening, stay in touch with the Facebook page. There's going to be more pictures with what's going on. I think there's going to be more changes that are coming up than what we've probably seen in the past few months. You know, when you come up to the Taste of Fort Recovery, stop by the Morvilius House. If you're one of the first 49 people, Karen will give you a tour. Okay.
She might even have two tours.
I will do two for sure.
So,
and a surprise.
You know, it is. Coming. And I think the other message for the people listening is be patient.
Yes.
Yes. You know, it's like when you see a new house going up. It seems like the first six weeks, man, they're building walls and a roof line and all this stuff, and then there's 12 weeks where you don't see anything. And you know, this is the same type of thing. So
thank you so much for having us.
Hey,
we really appreciate the opportunity.
I am really glad that you thought of us, you know, and I have a feeling that we'll be chatting with you guys again, talking about the progress and the need.
Two or three times a year, if they keep having news, we're happy to.
Yeah,
you know, something that great needs to be. We need to keep track of all of the good things that are going on.
Keep us in mind. We'd love to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay? Thank you, Jack.
Do we want to get Rocker on before we go to?
We're going to take a break, and then we're going to have Rocker come back and kind of open sports talk. Is there a sports talk?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Well, the...
Rocker, can you see down the hall? Is anybody there?
Yeah, they're still here.
Oh, okay.
Stay tuned for the 819 sports talk.
Yeah, and we'll have Rocker kicking that off, I guess. All right. Thanks for listening, and of course, all of this will be in the archives. And you can listen to it anytime after 10 or so, and then all the way for the next 20 or 30 years. So,
thanks for listening. See you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.